5, Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be reading verse 15 and 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. If everyone would please stand for the reading of God's word. Thank you. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. Let's read. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Let's pray. The Lord, thank you once again, Father, for all the blessings, dear Lord, that you allow to happen during this week. The people that would visit it, the people that got saved. Father, we ask now that you would, as we finish the day, open our hearts and our minds to the lesson the pastor's about to teach and preach. Father, we ask that you would be with him, dear Lord. Give him power. Give him the power of the Holy Spirit, dear Lord, that he can say and preach the way you would want him to, that we may hear from heaven. Once again, Father, we ask all these things in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands had provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, joined with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands had provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine, with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands had provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto to me.
Amen. Now that's what you call a message with a song. Amen. Thank you, Brother Imran. Brother Imran's doing a great job leading the songs at 3:30 service. I want to speak to you tonight on, again, somewhat of a continuation in my mind of some of the things I spoke about yesterday in the Ushers Conference, and I want to speak to you about our time. We live in something called time. When God created everything, he made everything in creation subject to space, matter, and time. And this is what you and I have to live with. Now, our time is a commodity that God has put in our hands to use for his glory. Time is a commodity that God's put in our hands to use for things here on this earth. We were created by God within creation with the opportunity to have time. Our time is from God. Our time is a gift from God. And our time is to be unto God. Amen? It is a trust from God. It is part of our stewardship as his people. And it is a resource that God makes available to us to do the things that he's required us to do. Somebody said, in a way, really, our time is our life. Your time is your life. And your life is important. My life is important. Therefore, our time is important. Job spoke about us having an appointed time. We basically live a certain section of time in this world. At the end of the world, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that there shall be time no longer. Right now, we live in something called time. And time is one of our most precious possessions. As we get older, we tend to value our time more and more. I remember when I was younger and I had a lot of time ahead of me, I didn't, again, realize the importance of, again, the importance of investing time as I do now. As we get older, and again, we only have a percentage left as we get older, we seem to treasure our time and we seem to realize how important it is and how precious it is and how valuable our time is. And we get more careful with our time. Time is what everyone is looking for. But the sad thing is we tend to squander it and we tend to not even think about it sometimes, and time just goes by so quickly. Actually, all of us here tonight should not take any of our time for granted, because the truth is none of us here really knows how much more of this resource God is going to allow us to have. You might be here tonight and you might be 14 years old or 10 years old. It may be in God's will that I have more time left than you do. I don't know, and you don't know either. Really, none of us knows. The Bible says in James that our life is like a vapor. Like sometimes when you drive down the turnpike and you see all the smoke and more smoke and smoke everywhere. Sometimes I look at the smoke along the turnpike and I watch how it goes up and it just seems to vanish into thin air. That's what the Bible says our life is like. In the book of Isaiah, the Bible speaks about our life being like a flower that comes for a while and then disappears. And so all of us really do not know how much time we have left. When will Jesus come back? Will he come back tonight? I don't know. Will he come back next week? I don't know. Maybe we have years. Maybe we have months. I don't know. None of us really knows. So we need to be careful with this matter of time. It is a commodity that none of us really knows how much more God is going to give us. Our life is like two dates. We have our birth date, but we don't know the date of our death. And so really, our life is just a span between our birth date and the day of our death. God in heaven lives in eternity. You and I had a beginning point. And our life basically on earth just consists of the time we have between the time that we were allowed to be entering this life to the time that you and I will leave this life. And that is really basically all that we have is time. In James chapter 4, the Bible says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow." Again, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You and I have this precious thing called time, and you and I don't even know how much of it we have left. That's why we have to be careful with it. Our time goes by so quick. It's almost like a ride of some kind. You hold on, and then the roller coaster goes through the roller coaster, and it's over just like that. I look back on my life and it seems like yesterday that we moved out of New York City and my dad started his business and then I got married and then I went to college and then I came here. And all of that is over 20 years ago now. Our life goes by so quick and sometimes you and I don't realize it. I want to speak tonight on this subject. What are we doing with our time? Tonight it'd be a wise thing for us to stop and look at our time and decide what can we do or what should we do from here on out with the time that God gives us. And I want to speak on that subject. What are you doing with your time? Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that you help us tonight to consider our time. Lord, our time is a precious commodity that you've given us. And Lord, we have to invest it. Lord, we're responsible to invest it. And Lord, it is what we can use to accomplish your perfect will. Please, Lord, help us this week to take the time you give us, if it be your will, and that we would not invest it in such a way that we one day would have regrets. Lord, may we one day look back on our decisions that we have made. And Lord, may we be glad that we put our time into what we do. So Lord, please open our hearts, open our souls, and Lord, help us to redeem the time, as you said. Help us, Lord, to make some good choices this week concerning our time. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. I want to make several statements. Number one, time is a resource that we have less and less of every minute of the day. You have less time now than you did this morning. The truth is this, you and I have 7 days less time available than we did last Sunday at this time. Time is constantly going by, and it's a resource that's constantly being diminished and cannot be replaced. You and I cannot control how fast time moves us. Really, the truth is, again, we just constantly are moving through time. Time is very unforgiving. Time is very unchanging. Time doesn't wait for anybody. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. It doesn't matter if you're educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter if you're saved or not saved. Again, time moves us through this life. It is relentless. It never has a pause button. There's never an opportunity to do something over. There's never a reset button. Again, it continues to move us through life. A.W. Tozer said, for those outside of Christ, time is a devouring beast. And the truth is, probably for unsaved people, because it's pushing them closer and closer to the brink of eternity and hell, listen, it's a terrible thing to see their time get eaten up day after day. How many unsaved people on their deathbed promised tens of thousands of dollars if the doctors could give them one more day? But in many cases, they could not do so. But you and I who are Christians, time is not some devouring beast that's taking away something that we have to be afraid of. The truth is, it's taking away a life that you and I need to start being wise with. It is taking away time from us that you and I can invest while we can. We're going to lose our life down here, but we have eternal life and everlasting life up in heaven after this. Praise God for that. So I cannot, if you will, control time taking me through life, but I can manage myself as time moves me through this life. I can control my behavior and what I accomplish while I'm moving through this life. A couple of weeks ago, I was stuck in the Charlotte airport for about 12 hours, and that is the biggest airport I've ever seen in my life. Has anybody ever been to Charlotte airport? I mean, it is ridiculous. It is so big, you could spend the whole day there walking around. It's like a mall times three. I mean, there's every kind of store you could think of. There's every kind of thing in there. I mean, it's huge. It's a hub, I guess, for many, many different airlines, and it is just humongous. All I know is, praise God, in that place, they had these moving sidewalks. Everywhere you went, I mean, it was from here to there. I mean, I don't know how big the thing is, but you could get lost in there. I mean, easily get lost in there. But I went on these moving sidewalks many times because I had to go back and forth and back and forth to different people trying to get help to try to get out of there because my flight got canceled. And so I had to go back and forth in the Charlotte airport on these moving sidewalks. Now, everybody's different on the moving sidewalks. Some people stop and just stand there and start messing with their phone. Other people, I mean, they're walking as fast as they can down the moving sidewalk. Some people are talking. Some people are lounging. Some people put all their stuff in the middle where you have to step over it. Everybody acts different, but they're all moving through the airport on those long moving sidewalks, and that's how life is. Listen, you and I cannot stop moving forward. We cannot stop time for us. The clock's going to tick no matter what we do, but we can manage ourselves while time moves us through this life on earth. We can decide what to do or what not to do while we're moving through time. And our time needs to be invested wisely. Look, you invest your time, your money. You would think about where you put your money as a retirement fund, or maybe you would think about where to put your money for a college fund. And you and I would think of those things and say, you know what, I want to make sure that I don't waste my opportunity to make money, or to, if you have some kind of return on my money, or to keep my money safe. Listen, time is even more valuable. We need to invest our time even more carefully.
Time, once it is squandered or wasted or used, is lost forever. Once you live tomorrow, that day can never be brought back into your life. Once you make a decision and carry it through, there's no way you could go back in time and remake that decision. No reward can be offered if you lose your time because it will be lost forever. If you kill time this week, it will be dead forever. If you lose time this week, it will be never found again. If you waste time, if I waste time this week, we will never be able to recycle it and make something else out of it. Time is a commodity that we need to take seriously and carefully look at how we spend our days. It is a resource that we have less and less and less about it. The Bible speaks a lot about time. In Psalms chapter 90, verse 12, the Bible tells us and tells us to teach us to number our days. God says, be careful about your days. David said in Psalms 39, verse 5, he said, my days are as a handbreadth. He says, my days are so short, I have to realize that. My life is not going to go on and on and on. I'm going to get older, and I'm going to one day lose my time here on earth. Our days are like a handbreadth. Jesus said, work for the night cometh when no man can work. In Ecclesiastes 3, the Bible says to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Again, our life is made of time, and constantly you and I are taking withdrawals out of that bank account, and there is no way for us physically to put any more time in our account. Number two, I said number one, time is something that God's given us. And we have less and less of it. That's why we need to be careful with it. There's no way to replenish it. There's no way to add on to it. There's no way that you and I could somehow, when that appointed time comes, change it. Number two, God wants us to know his will. God wants us to know what we're supposed to do. That's why God gave us his word, amen? That's why God allows the Holy Spirit to live within us so that he can teach us from his word. Paul told the Ephesians, he said, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He said, you and I ought to understand. A wise person will seek God's will and say, God, I want to know your will. Show me what you want me to do. And there are examples in the Bible of what every man should be and every woman should be. And there are people in the Bible that God promises them a reward. And there are times when God commends them and notices them and speaks about them. And there's tremendous amount of information in the Bible to teach us what God's will is. But a person that's unwise takes no interest in knowing God's will for their life. Young person, it's important for you to seek God's will for your life. Young lady, it's important for you to know God's will for your life. You have time. Now you need to know what to do with your time. We need to decide what God wants us to accomplish with the time he's given us. We can't stop time from moving us along through life. But we can, if you will, do God's will while we move through this life on earth. And we use up our time. I'm saying tonight, you have two choices this week, to move through time doing your own will, or we have the opportunity to move through time doing God's will. We all, again, pray that God continues to give us time. Number two, we need to seek God's will so we know what to do. You and I are accountable for our time. We are responsible for our use of time. And I want to encourage you tonight to decide where God wants you to end up at the end of your days. Does God want you to end up in your days faithfully married? Does God want you to one day be able to face him saying that you did a good job as a father, as a mother? Does God want you to one day end up and look back and say, you know, I've been faithful. I've been a soul winner. I've been a Sunday school teacher, whatever it may be. Do you want to face God one day and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Do you want to one day face God and have rewards and treasure up in heaven? Look, discern God's will for your life. What does God want you to do? I have to discern, what does God want me to do? And we have to understand what it is. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. The ending is what matters. Listen, we look in the Bible, there was a lot of people that their beginning wasn't so great, and we don't have a control of our beginning. Josiah couldn't control where his life began. Moses couldn't control when he was born. Again, people in the Bible many times, like Joseph and Ruth, they couldn't control their birth. And Esther couldn't control the times that she lived in when she was born. But my friend, they understood that God had a place he wanted them to aim for. And they discerned God's will and said, that's where I want to end up one day. You may be, I don't know where tonight. But listen, where does God want you to end up? When you look at your life and ahead of you, what do you see God wanting you to accomplish? It was a soul winner one time who every time he led someone to Christ, he would give that person a little clock and a New Testament. And he told them, here's a clock because you need to understand that time goes by. And here's a Bible so that you could learn what to do with your time as it goes by. That's what I'm saying to you tonight. Time goes by for all of us. As mothers, as fathers, as husbands, as wives, as Christians, as brothers, as sisters, as church members, time's going by. Let's discern what God's will is for us. Let's not just go through life using up time. So often in our life, we just spend the day reacting to the immediate problems. So many times we spend our lives, again, responding to texts and calls and emails and people. We end up, again, just basically defending ourselves all day from all the things attacking us. Sometimes we have so many things going on that we're just trying to juggle everything. Really, when you think about it, a juggler doesn't accomplish anything. A juggler just keeps everything up in the air so it doesn't crash. And really, at the end of the day, sometimes we have to ask ourselves, God gave me 24 more hours. Have I really accomplished his will? Have I really done what I'm supposed to do in the sight of God? I think sometimes we act very busy, and sometimes we work very hard, and we put a lot of hours in, but really, we're not making God's will a reality in our life. We're not really causing God to be able to look down at us and say, you know what, there's a person doing my perfect will. We tend to sometimes not even think about what God's will is for our life. And so basically, we live for all the unexpected things that happen to us every day. Basically, we end up living for all the uncontrollable things that happen to us all the time. The issues that come up, the circumstances that come up. Again, the different things that are just bouncing off of our life as we go through life. Again, we need to stop. Realize that time is a precious commodity that we have less and less of every day, and we need to stop and say, God, what do you want me to do with this day if you give it to me? I have this thing that lately I've been doing very, very consistently. I like to just take time in the morning and stop and say, God, I got a piece of paper. I got a 3x5 card. I'm going to make a list. Show me, Lord, what you want me to do today. Lord, show me what I'm supposed to accomplish here. What must I get done today? And every one of us needs to take a few minutes of time to ask God to show us his will for our life, show us what we need to do, what he wants us to do. He comes first, and what he wants us to do has to get done. Nobody can live perfectly, but I'm saying that we need to be in constant contact with God. Amen? God has a will for your life. God has a plan for your life. God has expectations for my life. And God, again, wants us to use our time to do his will. That's why it's important for us to stay close to God and pray every day. That's why it's important for us to read the Bible and, again, to know how God thinks. That's why it's important for us to worship God and stay close to God so that we can be close to him, so that he can whisper to us in his still, quiet voice. Jesus himself said, the words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. We look at Jesus' life, and Jesus was constantly doing the Father's will, doing his bidding, doing constantly the things that please God. That's what I want to do. Jesus had time on this earth. I have time on this earth. I don't know how much time I have. I don't know how much time you have. But let's realize that this time in earth ought to be used to do primarily God's will. And so by walking with God every day, we can discern God's will. By constantly staying open to God and staying yielded to God, God will show us his will. By, again, staying close to his word, again, we can know God's will. Paul said, I press towards the mark. Again, Paul said, listen, I know where I'm supposed to end up. I know what God's will is for my life. He had God's calling on his life. He knew he was supposed to be a missionary. He knew he was supposed to go to the Gentiles. He knew he was supposed to stay faithful. He knew that. Do you this evening know exactly God's will for your life? Do you have a vision? Do you have a vision for your marriage? Do you have a vision for yourself as a husband or as a wife? Do you have a vision for yourself as parents? Do you have a vision for your bus route or for your Sunday school class? Do you have a vision? Do you know God's will, what he wants you to do? Do you have a vision for your business? Do you have a vision for your testimony? Do you have a vision for your witness? Do you have a vision for what this church could be? Do you have a vision? Has God shown you his will for what he wants you to do? And I want to encourage you tonight to purposely set goals that are God's will for your life. And then never stop checking to make sure that you are following those decisions that you make. Let me ask you a question. How many times have you made decisions at this altar or made decisions on your own somewhere as you were praying and said, God, I know this is your will. I know that this is your, what you want me to do. How much are you taking your time and focusing on those exact things? Look, we all have the same amount of hours every day. We all have 24 hours a day. How much of your time has been purposely invested, guided towards God's will for your life in each area of your life? Again, we ought to know God's will. Amen? George Whitfield was asked one time, what would you do if you knew Jesus was going to return in 3 days? And George Whitfield said, I'd do the exact things that I've scheduled to do. Now, there's a man that knew, again, what he was doing was God's will. That's all we can do, and that's all we're required to do. We're not required to do something beyond what God expects us. But it's important for us to know what God wants us to do. So time is a resource that we keep losing more and more of as we live. Number two, we must live this way, knowing what God's will is. Number three, the Bible urges us then to redeem the time doing God's will. In Ephesians chapter 5, Brother Angel read it a few minutes ago, redeeming the time. God said, because the days are evil, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God says, don't be an unwise time consumer. Be a wise time investor. Understand what God's will is. Then take your time and spend your time doing the will of God for your life. That word redeem is a great word. Aren't we redeemed? We sing it, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. How did that happen? God spent his time to come down here to pay for our sins, but in exchange for his time, he got for himself a people that are going to go to heaven one day. You see, Jesus didn't just come here and live and die and go to the grave and rise again for nothing. He came here and he redeemed his time. He got something for his time. And that's what the word redeem means. It means to make something out of what you have. It means, if you will, to purchase something, to get something for what you give there. Hey, and Jesus redeemed us. He got something for the time invested. He got something for the sacrifice he made. He got something for, again, the life that he gave. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. Just like Jesus knew the will of the Father and spent his time doing the will of the Father so that, again, he could redeem his time and have something to show at the end. My brother, my sister, that's what we're supposed to do this week. We're supposed to know God's will, say, okay, I have time. As long as God gives me time, I'm going to spend my time not on doing the frivolous or the pointless or my own will. I'm going to take the time God gives me and invest it in doing exactly what God expects me to do. What are you getting for your time? Well, I got fun. Well, I got relaxation. Well, I had a good time. Well, I have a good memory. Sometimes we spend our time and we get nothing from it. And I'm not trying to say that we need to be obsessed every minute of the day, but I'm saying this, that you and I need to realize that our time is to be invested, redeemed, used to accomplish God's will. Hey, to build your testimony, to build your marriage, to build your family, to build, again God's kingdom and reach people for Christ, to love God, to love others. That's what our time is supposed to be. Look, we need to make sure our redemptions are wise. This week, you're going to have time, Lord willing. I'll have time if God wills. If I understand what God's will is, I'm responsible to know God's will. And then I'm responsible to take the time God gives me and use it to see God's will become a reality on this earth. We're responsible to see God's will done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, our redemptions need to be wise. Someone said, time is not so much measured in duration, but in donation. For your investment of time, what do you got? What do you have to show for it? Have you accomplished God's will? Are you a better mother? Are you a better father? Are you a better Christian? Are you a better soldier for Christ? Have you encouraged somebody? Have you lifted somebody up? Have you made somebody's life better? Again, have you done something that's worthy of recognition? The success or failure of our life is determined by whether or not we invest our time in God's will, or we just take it easy and don't even know God's will, or don't use our time for his will at all. And I think we need to judge our use of time constantly. You know, it'd be a good idea for us to record our hours that we spend this week and then see what we do with our time. I think it's sometimes shocking if we really diagnosed our life, what we used our time for. We're wasting a lot more time than we think. I remember saying to one brother, he was a good brother, he's in the ministry, and I said, you know, today it seems like people just don't have time. And he looked at me and he wisely said, he said, brother, he says, they have time. And we have more, we have as much time as we've always had. We have 24 hours a day, just like every other generation. We have the same amount of time in a year that they always had. We have time, we just need to be careful not to waste it. You know that the average person in their lifetime spends 8 days talking to their dog? That's how we spend our life. And if you have a dog, God bless you. But I'm saying this, we got to take a little of an account what we do with our time. This week, you're going to have 168 hours. What are you going to do with it? You say, well, I'm going to work. Listen, if you work 60 hours a week, you still have 108 hours. You say, well, I got to sleep. Listen, if you sleep every day 8 hours, that's 56 more hours. Okay, you still have like 60-something hours. You say, well, I got to stop and eat. Well, if you take an hour for breakfast, an hour for lunch, and an hour for dinner, that's 21 hours a week. Altogether, 56 hours to sleep, 60 hours to work, 21 hours to eat. That's still only 137 hours. You still have 31 hours. Now, if you ate and slept and worked that much, what did you do with the other 30 hours plus hours? We say, oh, we don't have time. No, we have as much time as we've always had. The real problem is sometimes that we don't take our time and use it to do God's will. We take our time, we just kind of run through life and we do what we feel like doing instead of redeeming our time. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 27, he said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. What he was saying is this, work for something that lasts forever. Somebody said the best use of your life is to invest it that in something that outlives you and me. I got a better investment than that. You and I, if we do God's will, our investment in time can last forever. Hey, I'm saying this. God has given us time, and it's a commodity that's constantly lesser and lesser and lesser. Every one of us is getting closer and closer to the appointed time. We need to know God's will. You need to discern, what do you expect from me? Not the person next to you, the person behind you. God, what do you expect from me? You give me this time. What do you want me to do with it? And then we need to redeem the time. Take our time and invest it in those things so that one day we can face God. We say, God, I used my time up down there. Here's what I got. It's gold, silver, precious stone in God's sight. It's something that'll stand the fire, if you will, and you'll come out again, not just saved so as by fire, but you'll again have your works in the sight of God as precious and eternally valuable as they'll ever be. I want to encourage us tonight to look at our time. Isaiah said, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? He says, why do you do that? Look at your life this week. You've got time. Discern God's will. You know why sometimes we feel like we don't have enough time? Because we're spending time doing things that are not God's will. I believe that there's a time, again, for everything under heaven. I believe that God will give us the time to do what we're supposed to do. Otherwise, God would be unfair. So why does it seem like we don't have enough time? Because obviously I'm adding things to my schedule that are not part of God's will. You follow me? If I was just doing God's will with my time, I'd have enough time this week to accomplish his will because God is fair. God's not going to ask me to do 200 hours worth of work in 168 hours. God's not going to do that to you or me. He gives us 168 hours every week. And he gives us, again, the opportunity to do his perfect will during that time. Let's redeem the time. Days are evil. Too many people are using their time for things that either are wrong or just don't matter. Redeem the time. Have something to show for it at the end. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment of decision? The Bible tells us to be careful with our time. The Bible reminds us over and over again, there's so many principles in the Bible where God, again, has time worked into what we're supposed to be doing. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Lord, I pray that this week that you help us to carefully take our time and place it where your will would get done. Lord, sometimes our problems are so big to us, but really it's just a time scheduling problem. Lord, we schedule time for things that, Lord, foolishly we don't realize are not your will. Lord, we schedule time where we make time for things that really are not part of your plan for our life. Help us, Lord, to do better this week. Help us to redeem the time. Help us to invest the time in those things that truly you have given us and that matter to you. Please, Lord, help us to make wise decisions. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Piano play. Again, I encourage you tonight to look at your life. Your life is basically your time. Your week will basically be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and next Sunday. What are you going to do with Monday? What are you going to do with Tuesday? What are you going to do with Wednesday night? What are you going to do with Saturday? What are you going to do with Friday night? What are you going to do with next Sunday? I want to encourage you to know what the will of the Lord is. The Bible says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Maybe your life has changed somewhere, somehow, and you have some different things now that are God's will for your life that weren't God's will for your life maybe a year ago. Maybe things in your life are simpler now, and there's some things that you, again, can focus on that you haven't been able to focus on in the past. Every one of us is different, but I know this, God has a will for every one of our lives. That's why it's important for us to, again, be close to God so that God can show us to do this, to not spend time on that, to spend more time here, and to cut back time here. So important that we redeem the time, not just use our time, not just go through our time, but to take our time and use it to do exactly what God intended us for us to do. That is really the way that we can be successful and have a balanced Christian life. Let's realize time is something that's constantly less and less. God wants us to understand his will, and then understanding his will, take our time and carefully invest it in those things. May that be the case in our life so that we can use up our time exactly when the work of God for our lives is done.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us time, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you give each and every one of us the same amount of time every day, Lord. Lord, nobody has less, nobody has more, Lord. It's up to us, Lord, to use that time wisely. It's up to us, Lord, to do your will with that time. Lord, some of us work many hours. Some of us work less hours, Lord. But it's still up to us. It's a choice we make, Lord. And Lord, help us to redeem our time when it comes to taking care of our families, Lord, as well as when it comes to serving you, Lord. Help us to redeem our time, Lord, and do your will. Lord, help us not to waste any more time. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on our focus on you, Lord. And Lord, as Pastor said, Lord, help us to ask you every day, Lord, what we need to do for you, what you want us to do in a day, what do we need to accomplish. Lord, please guard our hearts, Lord, and Lord, guard our desires, Lord, that they will be in sync with you, Lord, that we will be in accordance to your will. In Jesus' name I pray.